Šesta muzika. Vsak petek zvečer.
In lepo pozdravljeni v oddaji Šesta muzika, 1. februar, se piše malce po večerni uri, smo in nekako že s prvim komadom podoživljamo tisto, kar ste verjetno lahko v petek doživeli, prejšnji petek namreč, pred enim tednom doživeli v klubu K4, kjer nastopa angleški producent in DJ Lone, s katerim smo za nocojšnjo Šesto muziko uspeli narediti tudi en intervju. Ujeli smo ga takoj po zelo zanimivem in eklektičnem soundchecku, kjer je miksal od takih dubstepiš do zelo hardkorovskih in raverskih komadov, tako da v prvem delu Šeste muzike se bomo posvečali predvsem njemu in pa še malce pogleda, kaj se bo dogajalo v drugem delu. Tam bomo pogledali dva nova singla, dve novi mali plošči, in sicer prva je Black Label številka 96, to je serija založbe Kompost, tokrat z Ray in Kjavikom, potem še enega italijanskega producenta z svojo drugo malo ploščo, tokrat na založbi Delsin, to je mala plošča Free Pijamas, in sicer govorimo o producentu Low Jack iz Italije. Ampak še prej pa intervju z Lonom, zdaj tisti, ki ste potem ostali na njegovem setu, zdaj ne vem čisto točno kdaj, kjero zgodno jutranjo uro se je začel, ampak manj je bilo kar v redu. Ujeli smo ga, kot rečeno, po soundchecku, tako da ga bomo tudi najprej poslušali, kakšnih 20 minut intervjuja, vmes pa seveda še malo njegove muzike. Tako da predlagam, da najprej še malce komada, potem pa kar naravnost v intervju. Lone.
first of all, welcome to Ljubljana.
Thanks.
You've never been here, and I suppose you couldn't really gather much of impressions because you went straight to the club.
I've actually been to the airport here before on my way to Croatia one time. So I've been through it a couple of times, but yeah, still not really. This will be my first time actually spending some proper time here, even though it's not a lot of time.
So Croatia, that must have been one of the big festivals at the seaside, probably.
Yeah, I've been to a few. The first couple were at the Soundwave Festival, and then 2 years ago now would have been Outlook, and then last year played Dimensions. So yeah, I've been here a few times to Croatia, so yeah, I've passed through here a little bit.
So how would you say the whole bass music scene around here, is it, do you think it's well developed, judging by the festivals and everything, or was it many British people coming to Croatia just for the festival?
From what I saw, it was mainly sort of British people, but I mean, hopefully if there are people sort of interested in this music around here, then it's a sort of great opportunity for them to hear like all of it, really. I mean, yeah, it's kind of, I think there's a festival that pretty much represent everything that's going on in like electronic music or bass music or whatever you want to call it. So, yeah.
Because the funny thing with those festivals in Croatia is that they actually have better lineups than the festivals in England.
Yeah, it's quite weird. But we have horrible weather in England, so it's better.
So yeah, if we cut to the chase, your last records were, well, pretty much my favorite things last year. So how much did you change your style? I mean, it's always changing the style with you. So how does it happen? How do you change a style, for example, Galaxy Garden?
Yeah, I just get bored of what I'm doing before, really. I run with an idea until it gets boring, and then sort of spend a few months panicking that I've run out of ideas, and then usually something else comes along. I get inspired by something else, and then I just go with that for as long as it will last. So yeah, I don't really. I mean, I like too many different styles of music to just kind of stick to one thing. I quite like to stick to one thing, but I can't do it. I'm just too. I don't know. I'm too interested in other things, I think, so I end up just trying everything, I guess.
So what was the thing that triggered the change for Galaxy Garden? What type of music did you get into? Obviously it's not jazz.
Yeah, no, it's not radically different from the stuff before, actually. I mean, it's still listening to old hardcore and old house music and stuff like that, but I think the main thing I wanted to change up was the fact that I wanted it to be an album that you could listen to from start to finish. So I wanted it to be a bit more of a journey or whatever than just being tracks you could play in a club or whatever. I want it to be something that would sound good at home, basically, something that people could get more lost in and was more of a story almost. So I think that was the main inspiration, just making a decent album, basically.
Would you think that, like, that's the third album, basically? Do you think that's a thing that producers go into? Produce an album that's basically home listening, like a whole album as a whole, that you listen to it at home in peace and quiet, not in a club. Do you think that's something the producers want to do, even the younger ones?
I'm not so sure about a lot of the younger producers that are sort of coming up now. I mean, I think a lot of people are just happy to make. I mean, they dedicate their whole lives to making music for clubs, you know, and get really into that. And it's something that I wish I was more better at. But for me, all my favourite music is home listening albums. So that's always what I've wanted to do. It's stuff that I've done for like clubs has really just been a bit of an experiment for me, really. Because I mean, everything I want to do is I want to be as weird as possible with it. And yeah, so I don't know really, but. But I know a lot of at the same time, there is a lot of producers that, I mean, I think of someone like Flying Lotus, who he keeps making albums and they're getting further and further out there, really, further away from hip hop or whatever. So I guess there are people that like to push that side of it as well, which I'm certainly
mentioned Flying Lotus because he's using lots of vocals lately, and you used some of the vocals also on Galaxy Garden, not using just samples and bits and little small pieces. So how did you approach the vocals? I mean, they're not really obvious vocals.
Well, it was tight. It was just because I've never done it before. It was just a bit of an experiment, really. And I knew that Travis Machine Drum sang on a couple of his tunes, and we talked about working together a lot in the past. And because I wanted some sort of vocals on the album, I just thought of him basically, and he just did it really quickly, and it was just turned out amazing. And same with Annika, who I found, and she was really into doing some vocals for some of my music. So it was just more of an experiment really than anything else. I'm not sure if I'm going to push it any further. We'll see, but.
But did you give them any startup lyrics or something like that?
No. I knew I wanted like a human voice on some bits of the album, but that was about as far as I went. I knew really. Luckily, what they gave back was kind of, it was really close to the sort of vague idea that I had in my head. So it was really a simple process, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I think if I do it again, I'm gonna probably try and do it myself. Probably sing myself. But then that might sound horrible, so that might not happen. But I'm going to give it a try, I think, for the next record.
Okay, we're looking forward to that. But how was the recording of the vocals in itself? Because usually, you know, you're pretty much bedroom producers.
Yeah.
And you don't have the proper setup and stuff like that. Yeah. How do you manage that? Or was it just really basic and you didn't really care about the quality?
Machine Drum just did it himself in his studio, and Annika did her vocals in her studio, and then just passed me the vocals, and I built songs around it and stuff. So it's really, really simple, just naive and simple. But I've bought some more equipment basically for what I'm going to do next, so I'm going to try and learn how to do it properly and do it myself, I think, next time.
Okay, you're gonna get lost into choosing the right microphone and everything.
No, that's starting to happen, actually. It's bad, definitely. I need to get my head out of that shit, definitely.
How did the whole thing with RNS happen for you? I mean, obviously that's a legendary label that's been on hold for so many years and been restarted in England and everything. Yeah. So how did they approach you, or did you send them demos or stuff like that?
I did that Emerald Fancy Tracks record. They got in contact with my manager and basically said they'd have liked to have put that record out. It's like we should have sent that to them, basically, instead of just doing it ourselves. So I'm obviously a big fan of RNS records and stuff, so yeah, I was more than happy to do stuff with them. So yeah, just signed with them straight away, basically, because
no questions asked.
Yeah, totally.
So how's the relation with them? I mean, they're signing up so many brilliant new artists.
Yeah.
So
no, it's really good, actually. There's it's based in London now. There's a couple of guys running it, but Renart and Sabine, the originators of the label, they still oversee everything, but it's more based in London now. So I think the guys that are running it are more close to sort of what's happening in current electronic club music, and just.
So what, in the 90s, did you listen to stuff that RNS put
definitely
out? Because that's the beginning of basically rave with a big R, you know?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. A lot of those records were sort of some of the first things that I got into, and one of the first albums I ever owned actually was was Aphex Twin Classics. And like, obviously I just remember being about like 12 and having that and just seeing the little horse logo and stuff. So like, it's quite a weird thing to be on there like years later, definitely.
You talked a lot about rave in many interviews and the really funny way how you got into hardcore and stuff like that, because you weren't there for the original warehouse parties and stuff like that. And what appealed to you in that music? Was it the eerie sound, the really basic production, which kind of works, you know?
I think, I don't know, it just sounded really exciting to me. Just there's a lot going off, just a lot of, so I remember my older sister, it was kind of her mates that were into hardcore, sort of like the maybe 93, 94, and it's just sort of turned into jungle, and they were into jungle as well. So I was sort of getting tapes off of them and stuff. But by this point, my sister was into like house music and stuff, and it's like, it's, for me, that was just like a lot of the house at the time was just really boring. But this hardcore and jungle and stuff was just, it was totally changing all the time. My tracks didn't stay the same at all. And I think when you're really young, you've got a totally small attention span. So yeah, it just appealed to me. It just blew my mind, really. So I was well into it straight away.
Could you get a lot of the early hardcore stuff by the middle of the 90s in London? Because I was getting the feeling that lots of that stuff was getting lost or forgotten or whatever. Definitely. Or maybe sampled in a 10th generation samples or something.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you can get a lot of the records off like from the internet and stuff. And I still got loads of tapes, and I've got some CDs as well, like compilations of all hardcore tracks that I still got like most of my favourite tunes on. So yeah, but it is quite a lost sort of art form, really. It's quite weird that it's a style of music that was around for a little bit and it's just kind of almost wiped out. But yeah, I think if you look hard enough, you can still find a lot.
Because some of the jungle kind of kept the whole hardcore feeling going on, and then when drum and bass happened, it just totally disappeared.
Well, exactly. Yeah, no, that's just what tends to happen. I mean, it happened as well with, I guess, dubstep in London. It was really cool for a couple of years, and then it just turned to shit.
I wouldn't say shit. Yeah, it turned to so many new, so many new, different, more exciting stuff.
Yeah,
basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. But it's just the sort of blueprint of what dubstep was sort of taken on by American producers like Skrillex and stuff like that, and turned into like, just kind of really aggressive.
Which never happened to hardcore and rave.
No, I guess not.
That never happened.
No, I guess it just turned into jungle and then drum and bass and stuff, but yeah.
So coming from Nottingham, was there a big scene in Nottingham?
No, not at all, really. I mean, growing up, I didn't even live in the city until like, I don't know, until my early 20s. So like, I lived in a small town out of the city. So it was just music for me was just a complete escapism thing and just something I listened to at home. I didn't start going to clubs really for a long time, but.
So in terms of producing, when did you start? When would you start fiddling with the idea of I want to be a producer?
Well, straight away, really, when I was about maybe 12 or something, maybe even younger. Just so I had a tape recorder and a couple of keyboards, that was just lying around, and I just sort of jam on over the top of the hardcore tunes or whatever. They just sounded horrible, but I think like eventually I started learning how it was made and stuff like that, and got a computer. And so yeah, I mean, I didn't start getting good until I was maybe 15, 16, something like that.
And even now, I read in interviews sometimes you consider yourself not such a good producer and always kind of having real trouble. Oh, am I good enough? Or do I make this right? Do you still have that feeling with every new record?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, I panic all the time. It's because like, I never went to like a music college or anything like that. I never learned how it's supposed to be done. It's just basically a constant learning process for me. Just a lot of it is just guessing and hoping that it's right. But I think as long as you've got decent ideas, then that's the main thing, basically.
So what kind of a setup do you use now in terms of studio? Are you getting crazy with old synthesizers and old rhythm machines?
Not really, not yet, no. I mean, that might happen pretty soon, but no, it's really basic still, but I've just got a nice space for doing it now. Moved into a new apartment, and I've got a whole room for making music, whereas before it was always just done in a bedroom. So yeah, it's getting bigger, but yeah, it's just more microphones, and like I've bought a load of acoustic instruments as well, like a lot of percussion and stuff like that, which I've been recording and then sampling and stuff, so it's quite interesting. That'll be on the new stuff, definitely.
So in a way it's getting more, well, let's say organic, more acoustic in a way, which is again quite different from Galaxy Garden, which is really, really synthesized to the max.
Yeah, totally. In a way. Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be more organic in terms of percussion and sort of found sounds and stuff like that. But we'll see. I'm not sure how it's going to sound yet, to be honest.
So what's your... how do you produce stuff? I mean, what's the basic? What's the first thing that you do? I read somewhere that the first thing is you do the melodies, basically.
Yeah, just because that's the most fun for me. I enjoy that most. So, like, usually I'll either try and write down some chords, or I'll find a sample and write a melody to it. But then sometimes I'll start with just messing around with beats, and that'll come first. So it kind of varies, really. It just depends what the inspiration is or where the idea comes from, and it just kind of makes itself from there, I guess.
In terms of trying to reproduce the original hardcore sound, which kind of got there with Galaxy Garden, with the earlier records, it was always kind of shifting, really, from one side to the other. But this one really kind of caught the early rave sound. What was the premises? What was your base of catching the rave sound? I mean, did you study the tracks and then just trying to copy them?
Not really. It's just that I've been listening to those tunes for such a long time that it's just kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of a part of me almost. It's like I don't have to try too hard to get that sound, just because it's kind of all I know, really. It's like the equivalent of me writing a track with an acoustic guitar, like a folk song. That's kind of like my folk music, as weird as that is. It's kind of just what I do, so...
The records itself's got this really nice visual side to it.
Yeah.
So lots of colours, lots of really good visualisations. How did that come around?
It was the sleeve was done by Tom Schofield from Glasgow, who does he also makes music as Conks on Pax. He agreed to do the cover, and we talked about just how we both imagine colours with sound, basically. And we've both got the exact same sort of ideas when we listen to music, so it was Yeah, it was just talking about that, really. It's quite an abstract idea, I suppose, for some people, but yeah, it's just colours that we sort of, sounds represent to us, and that's what it is, basically, on the front cover.
Because it really reminded me, do you know, there's this X series from K7, this really early 90s series, which had the first computer-made graphics, and it was mostly Derek May and the techno artist, but it had the same feeling with the visuals, you know, kind of really basic, but really effective in a way. So.
Yeah, and for me as well, it's kind of like I wanted to get a bit of a feel of like the early Warp Records compilations, like the artificial intelligence. A lot of that is like early sort of computer-generated images and stuff, and it looks quite dated now, but it looks really nice still, even though it's dated. I quite like that about it. So
with your next records, are you staying with RNS or going somewhere else?
As far as I know, like RNS, there'll be maybe the next thing for RNS, definitely. I mean, I'm still running my little label with my manager, Sean, so I might put some stuff out on that as well. But at the moment, I'm just working on new stuff. It's really up in the air as to what's going to happen, but hopefully there'll be something pretty soon this year.
Yeah. So tonight, what can people expect from you? The soundcheck was quite eclectic.
Yeah.
I was really happy to hear the kind of jungly side of it.
Yeah, well, that was kind of, I was just having fun really in the soundcheck. But yeah, all those tunes will probably get played, but over the course of 2 hours rather than in 10 minutes. Just a lot of my favourite sort of house tunes, a lot of my favourite techno and early hardcore records and my own stuff. I'm going to try and play some hip-hop as well, just because I love hip-hop as well. Just whatever will work, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you mention hip-hop, lots of people kind of tend to like hip-hop, because, it's an obvious thing if you like this kind of music.
Yeah, sure.
And do you try to produce hip-hop also?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my earlier tracks were like hip-hop-influenced stuff, like really downbeat stuff, and I might even go back to it soon. I've always been into hip-hop, like, massively, so... and there's a lot of exciting stuff at the moment, actually. A lot of it seems to be coming back. It's quite exciting at the moment.
So as a hip-hop fan, which era was the best?
For me, it's like late 90s, mid to late 90s. And then even early 2000s, stuff like Madlib and J Dilla were doing. That's kind of... I don't know, when that stuff was coming out, I was getting to an age where I could really appreciate it, I think, and stuff. But all the best hip-hop for me is the sort of mid-90s to late 90s stuff, definitely.
So you're going to try to get some MCs and work on a record?
I'd love to, like Odd Future. I'm not really into Odd Future that much, but there's a guy, Earl Sweatshirt, who's part of it, and I'd love to work with him, definitely. that'd be the best thing ever.
you never know, it might happen. So let's wrap this one up. Have a great gig, and we'll hope to see you in Ljubljana. The sooner the better, you know.
Great.
That's it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
Something about playing it to the Doors, possibly. Oh, I've also got quite a good break for you as well. Come over and I'll break your nose. Oh, I'll pass you over to break.
Šesta muzika. Vsak petek zvečer.
Takole, Lon je bil tole v prvem delu nocočne šeste muzike. Ujeli smo ga pretekli petek ob njegovem nastopu v klubu K4. Jaz upam, da ga bomo še kdaj uspeli dobiti v naše kraje. Končno se je začelo dogajati, da v klubu K4 vozijo zdaj že kar dolgo obdobje, res tiste najbolj aktualne ljudi iz scene, kar je vsaj meni zelo dolg časa manjkalo v Ljubljani, kjer so stvari praviloma prihajale z kakšnim desetletjem zamude, tokrat pa se vse dogaja zelo aktualno in pa zelo up to date, tako da evo en tak heads up ekipi kluba K4. Takole, mi pa vstopamo v drugi del nocočne šeste muzike, kot smo rekli, bomo poslušali dve mali plošči, ne ostane nam zelo veliko časa po tem intervjuju, ampak prva na vrsti prihaja iz založbe Kompost, naredila sta jo Rej in Kjavik, se pravi Isak Klavik in pa Magnus Rej, za neko podserijo ali pa recimo bolj plesno serijo te minhenske založbe in sicer je to serija Black Label, to je že številka 96, tako da predlagam, da si kar poslušamo. Prvi komad iz te male plošče se imenuje Ace Black.
Back.
Ace Black in pa Ray in Kjavik, se pravi Isak Kjavik in pa Magnus Ray, nemški duet, da iz nekje totalno na sredini ničesar, se pravi iz nobenega večjega mesta, sta pa izdala par malih plošč, več jih še prihaja. Prva, seveda, njuna za založbo Kompost, za serijo Black Label, ena mala plošča za založbo Kindish, ki je pod založba malce večje Get Physical, in pa za založbo King Street Sounds oziroma Night Grooves. Še par remiksov imata, napovedujeta pa seveda še veliko, veliko več. Tako da predlagam, da si poslušamo še Flipside, in sicer je to komad Hulmim, tole sta Ray in Kjavik.
Dance like you never danced before. In the house, dance like you never danced before. In the house, dance like you never danced before. In the house, dance like you never danced before.
In Kjaviku in pa komadu Huim, glavno tako H2VMYM, neizgovorljiva varianta. Prihajamo zdaj še k njunim italijanskim kolegom, oziroma italijanskemu kolegu, glede na to, da danes vrtimo same take relativno anonimne producente. Lone se je izjema, intervjuje še kako oseben in še kako detaljen, ampak vsi tele in Ray in Kjavik ter Low Jack, ki ga bomo poslušali v kratkem, še vedno ohranijo neko relativno anonimnost, ne samo to, da so dokaj newcomeri, ampak tudi nekam ne izdajajo prav svojih identitet, ne delajo še prav veliko intervjujev in tako naprej in tako naprej. Glavna zgodba o Low Jack je to, da je to en tak tipičen elektronski glasbenik, ki je zrastel glih v tisti eri, ko se je analogno preklapljalo v digitalno, zdaj z eno tako veliko lahkoto in zelo intuitivno uporablja programe kot sta Logic in pa Ableton, tako da lahko zelo spontano izraža svoje ideje in pa recimo zliva to na eno tako glasbeno platno. Po drugi strani pa ga fascinirajo analogne ritem mašine in pa sintesazeri, tako da je cela plejada Rolandov od 909, 808, 303, pa do sinto, kot so Elektro in pa podobni, v njegovem arzenalu in pa v njegovem studiju nekako predstavila generalni publiki, ki pa je predvsem seveda možnost online distribucije, se pravi posredovanja komadov preko interneta. Se pa prihaja iz Rima v Italiji Low Jack, tam se je kot prvo začenjal navduševati nad elektroniko v tistih občasnih obiskih bolj popularnejših klubov. Zdaj v Rimu neke blazne scene ni bilo, bilo je sicer par dobrih festivalov, Marco Passarani je bil takrat v tistem času eno tistih glavnih gibalcev rimske scene. Tudi blazno glasbo na razvita ni bila, nekaj dobrih aktov je sicer bilo. Je pa ostaje Rime na tako mesto, kjer se seveda zelo veliko dogaja in kjer se seveda lahko zelo veliko doživiš. No in Low Jack je ravno za tem dogajanjem bil nekako navdušen in pospremilo ga je to v DJ-anje in kasneje v produkcijo. Tako da poslušamo si The White Towel, je prvi komad iz tele male plošče z naslovom Free Pyjamas, ki je šla pri založbi Delsin. Ta se iz teh nagdaj celo v house muzike poda, tako da predlagam, da si poslušamo The White Tower. Ekola, pa smo prišli do konca nocojšnje šeste muzike, samo še en komad nas čaka iz male plošče Free Pijamas in kar istoimenski producenta Low Jack iz Rima iz Italije. Z vami sem bil kot običajno Jure Matičič, z vami bomo ponovno šesti muziki naslednji petek ob 8. večerni uri. Želimo vam še lep večer naprej, do naslednjič pa se lepo pozdravljamo. Čau!
Šesta muzika. Vsak petek zvečer.